Second Timothy, if you would, please. Chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, I'd like to read the first 7 verses here. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. I've been allowed of the Lord to attend many Bible conferences. All of my life I've been being taken to and going to Bible conferences. 33 years in the ministry, I don't know how many I've been to over those years. I believe I'm right when I recall the first conference I ever preached on was the second year of this conference. I remember Uncle Don calling me while I was pastoring in Illinois and asking me, and can't remember if one of our children was on the way or not, but I had to take a Trailways bus to come and preach on the conference. Stayed in the basement over there in Paul. Over the years of going to conferences, I've heard many crazy statements. I've heard many extreme statements that I knew nobody could live by, eventually would be proven such. I've made my share of mistakes, and I've made my share of saying maybe some of those things. I have asked God, as I have grown older, hopefully just a little bit wiser, to help me avoid saying things just for the shock value or just for the sake of being dramatic and stirring something up. I believe He has been gracious to me, and might be a few exceptions in there, but I believe He's helped me. I don't want to preach anything just for the sake of stirring things up. I like to mind my own business, and anybody who is different from me, I let them be, and I desire them to let me be, and I try to pastor where the Lord has placed me, and I got my hands full. I don't have time to devote to fixing other people or intermeddling in other ministries. I have heard many things that I regretted hearing. And I say all that tonight because the Lord's laid upon my heart a message that I've tried in every way possible to get away from. The last 2 hours have been the longest 2 hours of the conference. I think they put their clocks around here on slow time just before it's your turn to preach. It's not going to be a popular message. It's not going to be well received, I fear, by many. I hope, by the grace of God and the Spirit of God, that He will enable me to lay the thoughts that He's given me before you clearly. I already thank Brother Gordon for his friendship and for having me preach on the conference in case we're not friends after this and I never preach here again. But I want to preach a message about half as long as my brother Darrell's title. But I want to preach a message I've entitled Technology, Satan's Device Against the Lord's Churches. Technology, Satan's Device Against the Lord's Churches. I almost titled this message The God of Technology, because I believe there is almost such a thing.
Right.
Or the God of the Internet. And I believe there is also almost such a thing. In this passage of Scripture, we have this statement, ever learning and never able to come to truth. I don't want to be accused of taking it out of its context, but I see in that statement the fact that just because knowledge is increasing and just because there is an explosion in technology does not mean it is a good thing and does not mean it is a God thing or of God or beneficial always to God's people. Ephesians 4 verse 14 tells us that we need to grow up and not be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Not to be thrown about with the sleight of men or their cunning craftiness. Daniel, I believe, in chapter 12, verse 4, we're studying through that book, and in verse number 4, I believe he references the explosion, the increase of knowledge and technology in the days right before the coming of the Lord, leading us into the tribulation period after God's people are out of here. I believe there are other references that talk about the explosion of knowledge and technology. I'm going to be 53 years old this summer. And I look back to when I was a young boy, and it is amazing, just in my lifetime, the explosion of knowledge and technology and what we can do and the communication powers that we have today compared to 50 years ago. It is phenomenal. It is beyond our comprehension what is going on in the world. As I've studied prophecy and I look at the last days and I look at the tribulation period and I get in my mind, as God allows me, things that have to happen or are going to happen before Christ comes, things that are going to happen during the tribulation period, and I think to myself, no wonder when these things were received, the prophets didn't understand them. Because they couldn't conceive some of those things being possible. But in our lifetime, technology has taken off so rapidly that just in our lifetime, what we see in prophecy is possible because of what is happening in the world of technology. To read in the book of Revelation about something happening and it being able to be seen instantly as it happens all over the world 50 years ago would have seemed like, that's impossible. Now you think back in the Old Testament days when they got these prophecies and they couldn't have had a clue. And yet something can happen anywhere in the world today, and it can be seen, it can be witnessed as it happens anywhere in the world. Knowledge is increasing beyond our comprehension. I know the context of Ecclesiastes, but Solomon says there in chapter 1, verse 18, he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Chapter 12, verse 12, the making of many books, there's no end. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1, knowledge puffeth up. The increase of knowledge, technology, and communications and so forth would have been inconceivable to our forefathers. And we almost take it for granted what we can do and see and hear. But the assumption is that this great explosion is a God thing, or this great explosion is a good thing. This great explosion of knowledge and technology is a spiritual, beneficial thing. But these verses we've referenced are just some references that show us that this is an explosion in the world, and this is an explosion of the world and the world system. And it's not always a good thing, and in fact, it has very negative consequences in our churches. Are being hurt. Our churches are being hindered by this explosion of knowledge and technology. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul says, I'm not ignorant of Satan's devices. Ephesians 6 tells us to stand, having done all to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word devices and that word wiles in Ephesians chapter 6 has reference to the thoughts of Satan, the methods of Satan, the trickery of Satan, the lying in wait of Satan, the tools of the trade of Satan. Satan has his thoughts, his plans, his purposes. He's the master deceiver. He lies in wait. And these things we're going to be looking at, I believe, are evidences of Satan's use of technology against our churches, against the Lord's churches. If that offends you and you're a tech geek, and it seems like God's people are so prone to got to have the latest, greatest little toy that comes along in this area. It's phenomenal and scary. But in case these things offend you, we're talking about the technology of the world. And who is the God of the world? Satan is the God of the world. Holy Scripture tells us he's the God of this world. He's the prince and the power of the air. This is his place of business. And this technology boom I'm talking about is going on in his realm. And shock of all shocks, we can be just as spiritual and just as effective and just as used of God and just as blessed of God if we didn't have a single one of these things in our homes and a single one of these things in our churches and in our lives. We can just effectively as possible serve God if we were in the backwoods and didn't have electricity. Because these things are of the world and the world system. And they're increasing, I believe, according to the allowance and the providence of God in the building up and the preparing of that one world government in which the Antichrist will come and rule and reign. technology, Satan's device against the Lord's churches. First of all, it's his device against the God of our churches. You know, we think of the internet, we don't, I'm talking about the world. We think of the internet and the technology world much like God. The internet knows everything. The internet has every answer you could ever need. Somebody referenced today, I think it's Brother Cummins, all you got to do is, I forget how exactly he did that little baby number, but all you got to do is Google it. Anything you need to know, you'll find it out there. But folks, only God knows everything. And only God is sovereign. Only God is supreme. And only God has all the answers. We don't believe in Santa Claus, and we don't give the credits and the glory of God to a guy in a red and white suit. Then let's not give it to the internet. Let's not give it to technology. Only our God, the God of our churches, knows everything, is everywhere, is infallible, and is immutable. As this knowledge increases, the knowledge of God does not increase. We are not a more godly world today as knowledge has increased and technology has begun. We are ever learning, but as that passage said there in Timothy, knowledge and learning does not bring people or this world or even this country closer to God. We're going as fast as we can away from God. I think it was just a couple days ago I watched as the space shuttle Discover was flown in, I believe, to Washington or whatever, to go into the Smithsonian. So many people sad, and we just don't have no way to get up in space. Sad, isn't it? Depressing. I think it's amazing that they could build a ship like that and a man could get into it and go into the universe. I think that is amazing. But you know, all those billions and billions of dollars that have been wasted by our going into space was really spent to try to find the origin of life and to disprove what we already know, that God created the heavens and the earth. Think of what could have been done. Think of the difference this world would have experienced if those billions and billions of dollars had been spent on feeding people and helping the poor instead of trying to disprove the existence of God. Technology does not bolster the belief in God or lead towards the belief of God. I believe it goes the other direction. Evolution's not gone away. The more knowledge and technology man has, the more there are that are believing in it. Satan is using this as a device against our God. He also uses this as a device against the book of our churches. This precious book we hold within our hands is God-breathed. It is the inspired Word of God. This King James Version of the Bible is God's Word to us as He has given it and as He has preserved it for us to this time. And the internet will never, ever, technology will never, ever compare to it. And we get drawn into this technology. And when it involves the Bible, what we find ourselves doing more than anything is studying about the Bible instead of studying the Bible. And spending all of our time in man's knowledge, trying to understand the Bible instead of just being in the Bible. The Holy Scriptures are God-inspired. Not everything that you're going to find on the internet is God-inspired. Probably close to 100% of it's not inspired. technology and man's knowledge does most to discredit the Word of God. The Bible says this, but what it really means is this. These verses really should never be in the Bible, and they're not inspired. And Paul didn't mean this when he said that, and God didn't mean this when this was put over here. And Second Timothy 2:15 tells us to study, particularly us pastors, study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God's word is perfect and complete. And our focus and our studying ought to be on the Word of God, and anything else we use should be secondary. And our confidence should always rest in this precious book. I said this, I believe, last week to our church. We are so electronically dependent. What would happen if we were to lose electricity, never to regain it, and you couldn't turn your Bible on? You couldn't turn your laptop on. You couldn't turn your computer on. How much of this book do you know? How much of this book do I know? How much of us in this conference, if right now after these services, before we left here, we compiled as much of the Bible as we could, just from our memory and our recall, how much of the Bible would we have before we left this place? This is God's Word. It was up to me, the only thing God's people would bring to church would be printed real books, the Bible. Because I don't trust too many people who have the ability to jump all over the Bible while I'm preaching to pay attention to my preaching. They're going to be cross-referencing and jumping all over the book and not hear a thing God has to say. I also said recently, and I confess this to myself, when I moved to our home in Archbold, what I had of a library, I never did have much of a library, but what I had was put in boxes. It's sitting up in the attic of my house. And my library comes on a disc now. Commentary after commentary after commentary, and dictionary after dictionary, and all these Bible related documents, and all of the Bible. And for most of my study, I'm moving around with that mouse. And I found that I am growing ignorant myself. You hear a book of the Bible you never ever go to? I could name a few tonight. Take some of you 10 minutes to get to. Because we're not used to holding the Word of God. We're not used to reading it. We're not used to studying it. And it is a great accomplishment of Satan when he grows our ignorance towards the book. When in these last days we need to be more knowledgeable of the book. I can remember growing up, Bible drills, sword drills. Let's see who can get there first. Let's do that tonight. Y'all ready? This device of Satan is a device against the order of the Lord's church. I apologize for quoting and referencing. I just have so much ground to cover. Please take note. Follow these things up. I have tried to double check and triple check and make sure these references are accurate. But you know, in Ephesians chapter 4, God says he would give us pastors and teachers. Who? The churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastors and teachers, and he gave pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Some people don't think that works anymore. But it is God who brings about the existence of true New Testament Baptist churches. And it is God who saves souls and brings them to scriptural baptism. And it is God who places each and every member in His churches where He wants them. And they are all grafted together as one by the hand of God, by the will of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then He places pastors over those churches. And that's the one He wants leading those churches. Not the internet, not somebody else you can find and reference on the internet.
Right.
Trust your pastor, love your pastor, pray for your pastor.
Amen.
Respect your pastor, acknowledge the fact that he's the one God has placed over you. Listen to him when he preaches the Word of God. If you want to check him out and verify him, then you go to the scriptures he gives you and see if he's telling you the truth. Be wise like the Bereans and see if those things are so. Don't trust some Bozo the Clown who has a degree from Bozo the Clown School that you find on the internet to check your pastor out. I've heard in this conference about the great decline of respect. I drive a school bus. You don't have to tell me about the great decline of respect. I've been cussed at. I have been totally ignored. But that's the world. It's sad that we don't have any respect much anymore in our churches for our pastors. Bible tells us, be careful how we touch the anointed of the Lord. And I said to someone just this day, you know, there's some things a whole lot worse than dying. You play around with God's man, you treat God's man with disrespect, and you lay your hands or you verbally abuse God's man. And there's a whole lot worse things than dying that God can do to you. And I can tell you through the course of my 33 years of ministry that I've seen it. I have seen things happen to people, and I just step back and say, God, don't let me ever go there. It's not up to us to go to whoever. Check out God's man. Let's go to the book. Let's pray. If it's indisputably in the book, you'd better believe it. You'd better do it. God's speaking. That's ancient history. No, it's current history. That's the churches the Lord will take His bride from when He returns. Churches that are still contending for the faith, that still have a pastor who cares enough to pastor and preach, and a people who still care enough to listen to that pastor and follow that pastor. Instead of questioning and critiquing, and most of the preachers are gone. There's a few here, and I know this is like preaching to the choir. But let me tell you something I've always believed, and I've always been taught by the great men of God that I have grown up around and fellowshipped around and pastored and preached with and so forth. Anybody who's a member of a New Testament Baptist church, and it's not Faith Baptist Church, Wasean, they call me, I've got no business talking to them.
Amen. I believe that.
I believe it is improper when we try to tamper with the members of other New Testament Baptist churches. The Lord's churches are independent and autonomous bodies, pastored by the men that God places over them. And we need a little more ethics in the ministry. We need men who will leave other churches alone and other church members alone. All you got to do is Brother so-and-so, I was just wondering, what do you believe? You know, our pastor said, and I was just wondering. Of course, I hear pastors who do not study, get their sermons right off the internet. I heard of a pastor that was supposedly caught doing that. And the sermons he was preaching, supposedly he got off of a Church of Christ website. Wouldn't that be embarrassing? It'd be embarrassing if it was just a Baptist site. These things go on, though. We're not to go to the technology that is of this world. And don't leave here saying, I'm telling you to throw your computers out. Don't leave here saying, Brother Titus says we need to take our laptops and our computers out to the road. I'm not saying that. I've never said, if you have a TV, take your TV out and put it by the road. Don't ever have a TV. I have a TV. Oh. Well, I'm going to get sidetracked here. If the only way you can control your TV is take it out to the road for the trash, do it. If the only way you can control your TV is by only looking at videos through it, do it. But if you do those things, understand you're not more spiritual than someone else. You're just exercising control. And that's what God requires of all of us. And these are tools, and these are things that are beneficial and can be used, but they're out of control, and I believe it's going to get worse. And it's negatively affecting the Lord's churches. Church is the pillar and ground of the truth. It just cannot be. Oh, yes, it can be. Local, independent Baptist churches. That's the pillar and ground of the truth. That is how God has preserved the truth. It's not done through man's writing. It's not done through technology. It's not done through the internet. It's not done through Professor so-and-so or Dr. so-and-so. But it's done in New Testament Baptist churches by simple men that God has placed there to preach the whole counsel of God. Don't try and improve upon God's way. It can't be done. You start trying to improve on God's way, and you're going to end up with a mess. And that's what we have. Even amongst our Baptists, this technology, which is universal, we see a universal mentality, a universal planning activities. And I'll just say this and I'll pass on. Once the Lord saves you and He places you in a New Testament Baptist church, and our fellowship is in and around the Lord's New Testament Baptist church, I don't believe there's much you can do without the authority of the Lord's church involved. I don't believe a bunch of people on the internet can get together and plan and purpose things. Brother Garner Smith was still alive, he'd still be preaching these things. The authority's in the Lord's church. Let's not trifle with that. Let's not play with it. Let's be careful about things we're doing that aren't under the authority of one of the Lord's true churches. It scares me. This device of Satan is a device against the fellowship of our churches. Let me tell you something, folks. God has provided for us. God is good to us. First and foremost, I believe God has provided our families to meet our social needs. That's the foundation of society. He has given us our families to love, to have fellowship with. In addition to that, the Lord has given us our local churches. In addition to that, we have fellowship amongst churches of like faith, like we have in this conference. But first and foremost, our fellowship should be within our family. Our families ought to be the most precious thing to us. Again, this is something I've said recently at church, but I'm so tired of people saying they just need to get away from their families. I can't spend enough time with my family. I raised my children, most of which during their growing up years I had to do secular work. And secular work was an interruption of my family. And when I got my job done, whatever it was I was doing, I was home. If we went anywhere, we went as a family. If we traveled as a family. That's a precious, sacred thing. There's something abnormal about needing to get away from the very foundational source that God has given us for fellowship. And this worldwide technology causes many people to have no fellowship or contact with the church members that they're a member of, and yet they have fellowship with someone hundreds and thousands of miles away. That's wrong too. Not only do we feel the need to get away from our families, but I think there's a need that is wrong where we just need to get away from our local church. That's not a good mentality. Our families ought to be something very sacred and precious to us, and the church where the Lord has placed us should be precious to us. You look at the technology that we're talking about, it has desensitized us to gossip. It has desensitized us to speaking our mind. Here's a newsflash. You don't have the right to give your opinion on everything. I don't have the right to speak my mind on everything. God teaches us in Scripture to show some constraint. And I know this is a bad word for you, some of you, but sometimes God wants us to shut up. And this technology has unzipped it, and I tell you what, people just say anything and everything. Many times very hurtful. And once it's said, as you know, it never is going to be brought back. You write something on a piece of paper, then you can erase it and throw that piece of paper away. You put something out there on the internet, it's never coming back. How many times have we clicked send and said, oh no, change my mind, too bad. Let's hope they understood it. Let's hope it's received in the spirit intended. Criticizing churches, running down pastors. This technology has caused an increase in schisms and divisions.
Yes, it has.
All my life I've been an independent Baptist. And I look back over my life and I can look at the great conflicts and the great battles. And, well, this happened years ago and that broke and divided up. This fellowship shrunk it down a little bit more, and I remember when this happened and that shrunk the fellowship down a little bit more, and there's been a whole lot more shrinking as a result of this technology boom. And for we can't afford to shrink. We need each other in these days. Love your church. Love your fellow church members. Love your brothers and sisters in Christ of like faith. Be careful what you send. Be careful what you repeat. This Good thing I didn't bring my, I did bring them. Oh, well. Oh, well. I shouldn't have brought this device of Satan has been used greatly to affect the morals and the separation of our churches. People who used to talk about television are silenced by the fact that they didn't see nothing coming like the computer and the internet and technology. We are bombarded with the exposure of sin. Amen. You can be doing something godly, and you can be doing a search spiritually and find yourself with things popping up there that you would have never gone to or wanted to go to. And there it is, and you have seen it. And once you've seen it, it cannot be erased. Our children are having free hand with laptops and computers, and we're ignorant, or some are ignorant to what they're able to access. Wickedness and nakedness and vileness. Sin and compromise and worldliness. There is this phenomena also in this technology that is undermining the morals and separation of our churches, where there are bold and brazen so-called Baptists who aren't ashamed to say, look at what I'm doing. My preacher may preach against this, but let me just tell you what I'm doing. Your preacher may say you ought not to dress that way, but look at me, I'm not ashamed to let you see how I dress. And that is influencing and that is eroding the standards of separation in our Baptist churches. I don't think we can even begin to comprehend the effect that it has had upon the morals of God's people. I don't care who you see. Ladies, I'm sorry. I preached this all my life. Brother that came before me preached it. I don't care who you see on the internet wearing breeches. It's still a sin to wear breeches, ladies. It's an abomination to God. That standard's never going to change. Exposing yourself and revealing the skin of your body in places that you should not. I don't care who you see doing it. I don't care what church member, what church they are a member of. It's still wrong. I don't care what language you hear somebody using. If it's wrong, it's still wrong. Always will be. People are getting on the internet and they're telling lies. They're telling half-truths. Like Abraham, oh, she's not my wife. She's my sister. It's still a lie. Sorry. I have had things come into to my church. I've had things come into prayer bands in our church that I knew were not true. That I knew there were circumstances there where it should not have been brought. But half-truths. Error. People love to posture. They love to spin things. Here's where it's going to get maybe even more quiet. But you know, social networking, I believe, is built upon two fundamental things that the Bible teaches to be wrong. The first pillar is pride and arrogance, and I want to talk about me. Me, 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 me. Let me tell you about me. What's the Bible say about that? Hasn't changed. The second thing is, I want to know all about you. Especially you, brother. busybody in other men's matters. That's still true. Still sin. We'd better be careful. Again, don't get up a storm out and say, Brother Titus says you can't do that anymore. I'm telling you these things are dangerous. I'm telling you that Satan is using these things. I'm telling you that they are affecting the fellowship in our churches. They're affecting the fellowship among our churches. Reputations are being ruined. Lies are being spread. And Satan is doing much against the work of the Lord. And much of what we heard at this conference about the need for weeping and the need for seeking repentance and being right with God. Much of what we heard, this all connects with. I really don't see my message as being out there in left field. It's a part of the problem. And I got to close. And I didn't really think about this laying my message out, but it's just going to get worse and worse, and I'm going to offend more and more people. But this device of Satan is greatly hindering, if not making it impossible for the Lord's churches to really worship.
Amen. That is the truth.
Yep.
Again, I preached recently at our church that worship requires our being engaged, really connected and involved. I believe to be engaged and really connected and involved, we must be disconnected from the world. We're told in John chapter 4 to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. That term spirit, I believe, has much to do with the fact that it is an internal connection, our spirit with the Lord. Worship takes place more inside. Bodily exercise profiteth little. The externals of religion profit very little. Most of our worship takes place inside. And you can't sing and you can't pray and you can't really worship the Lord if your mind is somewhere else. And don't tell me your mind is where it ought to be when you bring your cell phones and your smartphones and your toys and everything that's going to beep and everything that's going to buzz and everything that's going to distract. Don't tell me you're engaged. Don't tell me you are disconnected from the world and you're going to worship the Lord. And let me just throw this out. When you put your phone on vibrate, everybody still hears that. Got my phone on vibrate. Nobody can hear that. Whoever's calling you, it must be the president because they're not giving up. It just keeps buzzing, buzzing, and buzzing. I had sat and tried to, not sat, I stood and tried to preach the Word of God. I wish I could sit. Maybe I'd preach longer and just try to out-endure them. But I've sat there and tried to preach the Word of God, the message I believe the Lord gave me, and try to preach with somebody sitting back there. Yeah, they're worshiping. I've had them come in with smartphones. Oh, this is my Bible, my smartphone. Well, if it's your Bible and I'm reading the text or I'm preaching, I've just read the text, then why are you doing so many things with your smartphone? Must have a dummy operating it. I don't know. But I know there have been people sitting in the service where I preach and they're global positioning and they're taking satellite pictures of the church building and what about our homes? And I gotta quit. Husbands, wives, You got a lot of extra time? You spend a lot of time working on your home? You spend a lot of time building and strengthening your home? How much time do you spend on the computer? We spend as much time working on our families and working on our homes and the needs of our homes as we do on the internet. Our homes would be much better places. Virtuous woman isn't somebody who can spend hours on the internet. Virtuous woman is somebody who can spend hours being a keeper at home. Don't leave here mad at me. If you're mad and any thought of physical violence is on your mind, they have a door here that I will be going through. This has been on my heart and my mind for I can't tell you how long. Brother Gordon and I have talked about the worship thing probably the last couple of times we've been around each other. As Brother Graber preached, I don't want to just come together and spin my wheels when the church gathers. I want to worship. I want to be engaged. I want to know God's people are engaged. I want to preach and bring the Word of God to people who are wanting to hear.
Amen.
I want respect and reverence for God's house.
Amen.
The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can honestly tell you, I don't think it's wrong for me to want respect for my office as pastor. I don't think it's wrong for every pastor here to be respected by the people they pastor. The greatest way to show respect to your pastor is to listen when he's preaching. These things are going on everywhere, and they're greatly, greatly hurting the cause of Christ. In our New Testament Baptist churches, our homes, our families. And again, I'm not saying these things are sinful. I'm not telling you to go put these things out by the roadside. I'm telling you, think about it. Evaluate it. Just look at the negative consequences of your addiction to your technology and the effect it has upon your family, your home, what you could do better as a father, as a mother, what we could do better as a church. Just give it an honest thought.
Amen. That's right, brother. Amen.
God help us in these perilous times.
Amen.
Not to let Satan use this device against us in our churches. Thank you, brother.
Amen.